بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. What was the last chapter that we talked about?
الله يهدي من يشاء.
إن ثلاثة من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. We have mentioned last time that three types of people the hell of fire will be ignited with. And the first one was a person who was studied in the religion. And you said you're going to find out for us the other two. Were you able to do that? Inshallah for next time. Who are most worthy of the shafa'ah? Who are the most worthy people of the shafa'ah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the evidence for that? Would the shafa'ah then benefit the sinner?
Yes.
Would be of benefit to the sinner? To Ahl al-Ma'asir?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Correct. So the shafa'ah is for the sinner, but it's not for those who commit association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the two types of guidance that the chapter spoke about? And guidance through explanation and clarification. What do we mean guidance through explanation and clarification? ما عندك يا علي؟ ما عندك؟ لا تنسل إلى العلمه فقط. What is the guidance by clarification? Okay. And guidance of the heart.
To believe.
To show them the way and to lead them to follow that path of righteousness. In one ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated that the Prophet has any ability to guide, and in different ayah in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed that the Prophet guides to the true path. How can we understand the negation on one hand and the affirmation on the other hand? يعني المعنى قريب على المعنى بس مو المعنى ما في فرق ما شاء الله على ذلك سقط جديد
The Bayan. About the Tawfiq.
Ahsan. That's good. Was Abu Talib a support to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Was he a believer? Did we talk about the issues of this chapter?
No.
If you listen, then read for us the tissue. It took me open my book to the chapter. Page 78. Read.
Explanation of the verse. Verily you, O Muhammad, guide not whom you like, but Allah guides if you will, and He knows best those who are the guided.
Okay.
Explanation of the verse. It is not proper for the Prophet and those who believe to ask Allah's forgiveness for the mushrikun, even though they be of sin, after it will become clear to them that they are the dwellers of the fire.
Yes. It's permissible for you to ask Allah to guide your relatives who are not Muslims. But it's not permissible to ask for you to for Allah to forgive them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the death of Abu Talib, he asked Allah to forgive his uncle, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first did not respond to this dua from the Prophet, and the Prophet is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah azza wa jal forbid from the Prophet and forbid the believers from asking Allah to forgive those who died outside the fold of the Islam.
It is a major issue in the explanation of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say la ilaha illallah, differing with those who claim to be possessing religious knowledge. They claim it's sufficient to be forgiven by merely uttering the kalima.
This is an occurrence. وهي المسألة الكبيرة تفسير قوله قل لا إله إلا الله بخلاف ما عليه من يدعي العلم. Those who claim knowledge, they explain the statement لا إله إلا الله to be لا خالق إلا الله. There's no creator except Allah. Which is true. There's no creator except Allah. But this is not the meaning of the statement of لا إله إلا الله. The meaning of it, there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Because those disbelievers, they believe that Allah was the creator. They never negate it, never have problem with the fact that Allah is the only creator. So a lot of people who came in Islam and they write in the issue of Tawheed, they write books and volumes in explaining Tawheed, and all of their explanations boil down for them to prove that there is no creator other than Allah. This is not the meaning of the statement. That is something that part of the meaning of La ilaha illallah, but the entirety of the meaning of La ilaha illallah is beyond that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. Ibadah.
Abu Jahl and those who were Muslims knew well the intent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said to the man, his uncle, say La ilaha illallah, may Allah renounce the one who was less knowledgeable than Abu Jahl regarding Islam.
That is, Abu Jahl knew the implication of the statement of La ilaha illallah, the implication of it that all other gods and deities would be rendered null and void. He knew that. This is the implication of saying La ilaha illallah. يعني أبو جهل علم أن مستلزمات قول لا إله إلا الله إبطال كل الآلهة. Yet, there's a lot of Muslims nowadays, they say La ilaha illallah, and the implication of that statement never dawned to them. So they say La ilaha illallah, yet they go and they worship grave, and they worship shrine and others. So Abu Jahl knew the implication of it, but those people did not know the implication of the statement of La ilaha illallah.
It the eagerness and intense desire of the Prophet of Allah عليه وسلم to convert his uncle to Islam.
Yes, the Prophet's love for his uncle to become a Muslim. Because his uncle, this is his uncle, and this is the one who was supporting him in the religion. And you would think the one who is supporting the religion and supporting those who are making da'wah to Allah, they should be most ready to answer the call of Allah. But sometimes those who support the da'wah, sometimes they're not ready to answer. And we see that sometimes in defectives, where there would be some rich person who go and support a lot of people to make da'wah for Sabilillah, yet this person does not want to be committed on the manhaj. Similar to that, Abu Jahl, he was supporting Islam, yet himself did not want to go from worship, Abu Talib, worshipping the statues and the idols and practicing the religion of his forefathers.
The denial of those who claim that Abdul Muttalib and his forefathers were Muslims.
Yes. Some people make this claim, but this hadith proves otherwise.
Allah did not forgive Abu Talib despite the Prophet ﷺ's initial act of forgiveness for him. On the contrary, he from Allah was forbidden to do so.
We've talked about that.
The harmful influence that evil companions can have on people.
See, Abu Talib was in the presence of evil companions, Abu Jahl and Safwan ibn Umayyah. Safwan ibn Umayyah after that was guided to Islam. Abu Jahl was killed as a disbeliever. When the Prophet ﷺ was calling his uncle to come to Islam, those two people, Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah or Safwan ibn Abi
Umayyah,
inshallah. One of them came to Islam and the other one did not. But at that time, both of them were not Muslim. So they influenced Abu Talib not to answer to the call of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, we should have a lesson in our everyday life to surround ourselves with good friendship. Those friends who will help you and support you and encourage you to do that which is good. And you do not need those friends who will help you and encourage you and support you to do that which is evil. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the evil companion, and he compared that to the blacksmith. If you sit next to a blacksmith, you're either going to smell bad odor or some fire will land on your clothing and it will burn you. You're not going to get anything good out of it. And so will the bad companion.
The harm of overcrowding ancestors and important personalities. The argument of the falsifiers and the argument of the Jahiliyyah.
Same thing, they argue that, are you going to leave the religion of your forefathers? Are you going to leave the religions of your ancestors? The same argument presents itself.
And then, attestation to the weight of the final deed in one's life, because had Abu Talib confessed, that there is no true God but Allah, he would have been benefited by it.
إنما الأعمال بالخواتم. That means what is going to affect you is how you end.
So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our ending a good and a righteous ending. The consideration of the magnitude of this false argument in the hearts of the misguided, because in the story they do not argue except with them despite the intense effort of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the repetition of the kalimah, because of their tremendous pride and ancestry and distinction among them, they were content with it.
It means they did not try to present any evidence to refute the call of the Prophet. All what they have to say, are you going to leave the practices of your forefathers? And that was the consequences of that statement. Then we move on to the next chapter, inshaAllah. باب ما جاء أن سبب كفر بني آدم وتركهم دينهم هو الغلو في الصالحين. The chapter of that one of the reasons that the son of Adam left their religion and fall in disbelief is the position or the extreme position that some of the son of Adam take regarding the righteous people. The first ayah in this chapter is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he says, يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ وَلَا تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ إنما المسيح عيسى بن مريم رسول الله وكلمته وروح منه وكلمته ألقاها إلى مريم وروح منه فآمنوا بالله ورسله ولا تقولوا ثلاثة انتهوا خيرا لكم إنما الله إله واحد سبحانه أن يكون له ولد له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. In this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the people of the book not to take an extreme style in practicing their religion. Not to practice ghulu. Ghulu means to take an extreme position regarding an issue. The people of the book took an extreme position regarding Isa ibn Maryam. The Jews, they took a position that Isa ibn Maryam was a bastard. And that exaggeration, the extreme position. Whereas the Christian took another extreme position that Isa ibn Maryam was the son of God. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed this issue in this ayah and he said to the people of the book, do not practice your religion with an extreme approach. Verily, and do not say about Allah except the truth. Verily, the Messiah, Isa, the son of Maryam, was the messenger of Allah. By saying so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proving that the Jews were liars. Because the Jews were saying Isa was a liar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, Isa is the messenger of Allah. And then, and his word. He was created by the word of Allah. Allah said to him, be, and he and Maryam was pregnant with Isa. With the word of Allah. So that refused what the Jews were saying, that he was a son to fornication. Thirdly, he said, and the Spirit of Allah. The Spirit was blown into him from Allah. Allah created his soul to be blown into Isa ibn Maryam. So he told them to believe in Allah and his messenger. And do not say three. To stop saying three. Because that will be better for them. Because verily, there is only one deity, glory be to him, it's not befitting to him to have a son. He has all that is in heaven or all that is in earth. So we see the reason for those people of the book why they were disbelievers, because they practiced an extreme position regarding a righteous man. The righteous man, Isa, the son of Mary. The extreme position that they took regarding Isa is to make him a god, and thus they fall into disbelief. And the second evidence, وفي الصحيح عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما في قوله تعالى وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواعا ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا. قال ابن عباس هذه أسماء رجال صالحين من قوم نوح فلما هلكوا أوحى الشيطان إلى قومهم أن ينصبوا إلى مجالسهم التي كانوا يجلسون فيها أنصابا وسموها بأسمائهم ففعلوا ولم تعبد حتى إذا هلك أولئك ونسي العلم عبدت. رواه البخاري. In this authentic hadith narrated by Imam al-Bukhari that Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he says regarding the statement of Allah, they said, do not abandon your God, and do not abandon Waddan, Wasuwa'an, Wayahuta, Wayahufa, Wanasra. Ibn Abbas said, those are the names of righteous people from the people of Lawa. When those righteous people died, al-Shaytan went to the community, and he said to the community, make a statue and put those statues in the places of the gathering places of those righteous people. So they did. But at that time, the community did not worship those statues. But after a while, when this, what was the people that were present in the community died out, and the knowledge was forgotten, then those statues were worshipped. And that agrees with the title of this chapter, that one of the reasons for which the son of Adam fall into disbelief is the extreme position that they take regarding the righteous people. Those names, Waddan, Wasiwa'a, Wayahuza, Wayahuza, Wanasra, they were righteous people. They died. When they died, the Shaitan came to the people and he said, why don't you make a statue, picture of those righteous people and place those pictures in the gathering place of those righteous people for the purpose of you to be reminded to worship. Because if you see, just like when they were alive, you see them worshipping and being righteous, so that would be an encouragement for you to be righteous. But now they have died. So make pictures for them, for you to have the same effect. For this picture to remind you to worship Allah, and to be good and pious. That is how the Shaitan started putting his seed. When those people died, the people who came after them, they did not know that the previous generation, they made the statue as a reminder. At the same time, the knowledge was taken because those people died and the knowledge died with them, so nobody was there to refuse and to stop an invasion from creeping into the society. So the second generation and the generations after that, they started worshipping those statues. All of that comes from exaggeration in the treatment of the righteous people. And that exaggeration in this example is manifested by making statues of them. Okay. What comes after that? Says Ibn Qayyim. Read what it says Ibn Qayyim.
Ibn Qayyim. Allah says that most of our predecessors have stated, after the death of the righteous person, they confide at their graves and their statues, and after much time passed, they started worshiping them. Okay, go on. Muhammad ibn al-Khattab, رضي الله عنه, reported to have said that Allah blessed the son of Allah and his son of Allah. Do not exaggerate the praise of me, just as the Christians exaggerated the praise of Abraham and Maryam. I am but the slave, the Prophet of Allah's praise and his message.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See, the author of this book showed us in the first evidence that he brought in this chapter that the reason for which previous nations fall into the practices of disbelief is the exaggeration and the extreme position that they took in the treatment of their righteous people. So for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to deal with the problem and to close all the doors for this problem to develop in his nation, he said, لَا تَطْرُونِي كَمَا أَطْرَتِ النَّصَارَ ابْنُ مَرْيَمْ إِبْنَ مَرْيَمْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدٌ تَقُولُ عَبْدُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Do not extol me just like the Nasara did extol the son of Mary. He said, I am only a slave, so say the slave of Allah and His Messenger. Thus, if we say the slave of Allah and His Messenger, we will be always reminded of the position of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and at the same time of the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because our most honor stems from establishing our slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الذي يحقق العبودية لله سبحانه وتعالى بصورة أكمل وأفضل يستحق لقب العبودية لله سبحانه وتعالى وفي هذه الكرامة له. The one who establishes himself as the slave of Allah, the more a person establishes himself as the slave of Allah, the more honorable this person will be. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, the most honorable by Allah amongst you are those who are most pious. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most pious, as he says, أَنَا أَتْقَاكُمْ لِلَّهِ. He is the most pious, that he is the most honorable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to him as his slave. So we refer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the slave of Allah and the messenger of Allah, and we do not extol him, meaning overly praise him, just like the Christians overly praised Isa ibn Maryam until they established him as the son of God. And then he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوبُ فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمُ الْغُلُوبُ. He said, be aware of exaggeration. Your predecessors perish on account of their exaggeration. When people start positioning their righteous people over the status of righteousness and they move them to the status of divinity. And we see nowadays in many places in the Muslim land, we see people going to the grave of righteous people, worshipping those statues in the form of making leather to the grave, of making dua to the people who are in the grave, and so on and so forth. And that all starts from and due to the fact that those people, they are exaggerating and they take an extreme position regarding how to treat the righteous people after their death. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِعُونَ. Destroyed are those who are extreme in the religion. So with this chapter, the author is showing us that one of the reasons for which the son of Adam will fall into disbelief is the extreme position that they take regarding the treatment of the righteous people. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us and He instructed the people of the book not to be extreme in their religion, and that is instruction for us too. And we have an example of how the people of Nuh, they fall into disbelief, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warning his nation from falling into exaggeration and overstatement in the practices of this deed. Having said that, inshallah, we go through the issue